Take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Jeremiah. It's been a long time since we've been back in the book of Jeremiah. We started that series many years ago, it seems like now. I guess it's been 4 or 5 years. Mr. Opeger knows the exact date, and I'm sure he'll be able to update me next time I see him. But it was February sometime ago, 4 or 5 years, I believe. But we're in chapter 36. We're in chapter 36. And this chapter is a well-known chapter in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 36. It is that famous story where Baruch and Jeremiah are writing that book, and they take it to the king, and of course the king ends up taking that and putting it in the fire. So tonight we're going to talk about, we're really going to break this chapter, this down into two different messages, because I got to studying this and there was one little theme that I thought we'd share tonight, and the next time we're going to focus more on another theme in general from the chapter. We're going to call tonight's message, Standing for the Word. Standing for the Word. And here we have in this unique story several figures that stood for the Word of God. And I began to think about that and to think about our own lives, of course, and the things that we do in our lives and how often, many times, perhaps we don't stand for God's Word like we should. We don't value the Word of God like we should. We're going to see some men tonight that had an extreme and high value for the Word of God. And let's look in Jeremiah chapter 36. I just want to read a few verses, and we're going to skip around and read some other ones as well. Let's begin right there in verse number 1. It came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah. And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll, which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people, in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. And of course, we know the rest of the story there, that Baruch did indeed do what the prophet asked him to do. Just a bit of background here. This is a very, again, familiar story. And it's during the days of Jehoiakim, we read in verse number 1. This is after the time of Josiah. The time of Josiah was a time of great reform and revival. And this is then one of the sons of Josiah. The Chaldeans here also were moving toward Jerusalem at this time. We could look back and correlate all what's written in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. And eventually with Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar comes up and takes him away, takes the vessels of the temple away as well. And so in this story of this dictated book, it seems that Jeremiah is giving this final call to repentance to the king before this deportation begins to happen, this invasion comes. And we read that Jeremiah seems to be shut up. He might be in a prison. We aren't really given the details. Many believe that he was imprisoned at this time. He couldn't go out into the public. Perhaps he was obviously a hated man for the things that he was speaking, that they took as treasonous, that he was speaking against the kingdom at that time. But real quickly, the story here, Baruch took the book that we just read about. He went into the temple. We could read about that in verse number 10. He goes into the higher level of the above the court there. He speaks out the words that Jeremiah had given him to write and to write down. He speaks them out. Some people gather together. They take the same words to the princes. The princes have it read to them for the second time. Now it's being read. The princes are very worried about it. They then go immediately to the king, Jehoiakim. And you know the story. It's winter time, and he's in his palace, and he's got a little fire going there in the fireplace, perhaps. I don't know really what kind of fireplaces they had in those days. But he has a fire there nearby, no doubt, to stay warm. And they read it again to the king, and as the king is hearing this, he takes the scroll, and he begins to cut it with a knife, and he throws it into the fire. And of course, at the end of the chapter, the Lord tells Jeremiah to write the book again, and he also includes in there some judgment upon the king for his disrespect for the Word of God, really. His ignoring of the Word of God, not taking it seriously, not thinking it's a big deal, not wanting to listen to anything that is contrary to his own plans for the kingdom. But as I began to read through this story, I noticed that there were several different men involved in this story. We could read about them beginning in verse number 10. This is the time of a feast that has been proclaimed. But I want you to look at chapter 36, verse number 10. Then read Baruch in the book, the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the higher court. So he was in the chamber of Gemariah. Now, no doubt many believe Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, was perhaps sympathetic toward Jeremiah. And he allowed Baruch to come to the top there, this upper story, and to read, kind of looking down at the people so that he could be heard and proclaiming all that was written in this scroll. It says he was in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book of all the words, then verse 12, he went down to the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and here's the princes that are sitting there. Elishama the scribe, Deliah the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan the son of Achbor, Gemariah the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Now then they read it to them, and then of course they go down to verse number 16 quickly. I know I'm going through some verses, but we're going to get to a point here very quickly. It came to pass when they heard all the words, they were afraid both one of another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. You know, this is something not to be taken lightly. That Jeremiah is prophesying that the king is going to be destroyed. This is treasonous. He should not be speaking this way. They asked Baruch, how did you hear these? And he again reiterates in verse 18, what Jeremiah said, I wrote those things down. Well, then verse 19, the princes said, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. Then we have, of course, the story where the king hears it. He cuts it up. He throws it into the fire. But I wanted to come, and this is what really drew my attention. May not seem very interesting at first, but look at verse number 25. Well, let's go back actually to verse number 24. Jehudi is reading this, and the princes are there. The king's cutting the scroll, throwing it in the fire. Verse 24, very scary verse. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Now, I just think back to several years prior when Josiah the king was, they were cleaning out the temple, and there were some men involved that found the word of God and found the law of God, and they began to read the law of God, and they were afraid of what was going on. And the king told them, he sent a little committee to go to a prophetess. And the prophetess of 2 Kings chapter 22 told them, this is what's going on, that you're going to be judged because you have done against what the Lord said in the law. They read through the law. They read through what God had told them would be the blessings. They read through the things that would cause the cursings. And Josiah realized that they were going to be in a situation that this was a cursing. They were an idolatrous people. And what did Josiah do in his response? He humbled himself. They tore their garments then. They repented. They went to the Lord. They had a revival time sweep through that land during the days of Josiah. But we see a completely different response in verse number 24. Here, Jehoiakim and his pride and the princes that are around him are not afraid at all, and they do not even rent their garments. The king, any of his servants, none that heard those words. But look at verse number 25. Look at verse number 25. Nevertheless, and we saw these names back in the earlier part of the chapter, verses 10 and 11. These were princes that were involved with hearing the scroll being read in public before it came to the king. But look now at verse 25. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. Now, I can imagine a room full of princes, servants, the scribe, the Jehudi's there as well, the king's there, and who would dare to be brave enough to speak up to the king at this time and tell him not to burn the roll, not to burn the scroll, not to dishonor the word of God? But yet these three men spoke up. These three men raised their voices and said, don't do this to the scroll. This is from the prophet of God. They recognized the true import of that. Now, I got to looking at these men, and I got to thinking about who their fathers were. And we're going to take a little journey briefly back to the book of 2 Kings and then one verse in 2 Chronicles. And notice the second point on my slide here. After the story of the scroll, we have some influential fathers. Now, I know this isn't Father's Day, and I thought about saving this message until Father's Day, but I did not. I just thought I should just go ahead and speak this tonight. I thought about the men that stood up in verse 25. The fathers of these men were men during the days of Josiah, in the days of revival, that were greatly affected by the Word of God. I want us to look at this, these influential fathers, as you follow along on the slide. I'm going to put all three of their names up. Shaphan, Akbar, and Shemaiah. Now, again, let's just quickly flip back in chapter 36. Look at verse number 10. Gemariah, the son of Shaphan. We see him again in verse 25 as one that said, don't burn the roll, Gemariah. Then we see in verse number 12, Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan, the son of Akbor. So Gemariah, Deliah, and Elnathan. These three men, of all the princes that were there, were the only ones that spoke up about, let's not do this to the scroll. So now let's go back to 2 Kings. Maybe hold your place there in Jeremiah. We're going to come back to it. Let's go back to 2 Kings. Let's look in chapter number 22. Again, these are the days of Josiah, the days of a very prosperous time, at least spiritually, where people were returning to the Lord and the king was leading them in that direction. Let's look at verse number 8. Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe. Now Shaphan, again, we see him in Jeremiah. Gemariah, the son of Shaphan. Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house. We've delivered it into the hand of the Lord to do the work that have oversight of the house of the Lord. They're raising money to restore the house of the Lord. Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book that they had found in the temple. Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. Now you imagine what kind of influence, impact, effect that had upon Shaphan. Here is the king of the nation, the highest political figure of the nation. Yet when he heard the words of God, he went on his knees and rent his clothes. No doubt Shaphan was influenced by that. Verse 12, the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, and Akbor. There's Akbor. We've read about him as well, or Akbar. The son of Micaiah, and Shaphan, the scribe, Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me. And they went, of course, as we said, verse number 14, they went to Huldah the prophetess, and she told them that you are going to receive evil because you have not obeyed the works of the Lord. And then they said in verse 18, but to the king of Judah, you were tender in your heart, and you humbled yourself, and you rent your clothes and wept before me. So the Lord is going to postpone the judgment until after the days of Josiah. But we see these men, Shaphan, Akbar, Akbor, very influential in the reign of Josiah and very involved with the revival. Now, then let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 9. Now, I put a little question mark there because we don't know for sure if this is the same Shemaiah, but it is at least a possibility. And maybe I'm being too fantastical here. I don't know. But I just thought it was interesting. This may possibly be the same Shemaiah, but it may not be. We don't know. But in verse number 8, princes gave willingly unto the people, to the priests, to the Levites. Hilkiah, Zechariah, Jehiel, rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priests for the Passover 2,600 small cattle, 300 oxen. Again, these are politically influential people. These are princes. And then we read later in Jeremiah, no doubt the sons of these princes are the ones that are now in leadership, which is what kind of leads me to possibly believe that this is the same Shemaiah. Verse number 9. Kenaiah also, Shemaiah, Nathaniel, there's Shemaiah, his brethren, Hashabiah, Jehiel, Jozabad, chief of the Levites, gave unto the Levites for Passover offerings. So these princes and these chief rulers of the Levites were giving during this revival time of Josiah to reinstitute the Passover, to bring the people back to the Lord to serve and worship Him appropriately. And then we read again, back now in Jeremiah chapter 36, of perhaps the sons of these men are the only voices standing up for the Word of God. The only voices standing up for the Word of God. Perhaps these men are now off the scene and their influence is still seen in their sons who are in now leadership as princes or rulers under or scribes under Jehoiakim. And I wanted to notice some things about these men, these three men. Elnathan, who is the son of Akbor, Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, and Gemariah, the son of Shaphan. Notice now some things about these men. As we read through this chapter quickly, a few verses, I want to point out just three brief points about these men and their involvement with the Word of God. These are the three faithful sons, Elnathan, Deliah, and Gemariah, that we read of in verse 25. The only ones to voice their disapproval to the king, which takes some guts to do. To stand up to the king and say, don't burn that. It may be they paid a price for it. We don't know the details of that. Let's look at some things quickly. We notice that these three men were committed to the Word of God. They were committed to the Word of God. No doubt they had learned this. Again, what have these sons learned from their fathers? They learned first to be committed to the Word of God. Look at verse number, back to chapter 36. We've already read verses 9, 10, and 11. It's by no accident that Gemariah, in the position that he was in, allowed Baruch to come up to the top office, his personal office chambers there, and to speak and proclaim the Word of God from that point. It shows that Gemariah was committed to the Word of God. And he wanted that Word of God to go out to the people. He understood the value. He knew, perhaps from his own father, that the power of God's Word to change a nation, as he saw under the days of Josiah. And he allowed them to go to this chamber privately and to give this declaration. They also, secondly, so we see in verses 16 and 19, these men acknowledged the power of God's Word. They knew that God's Word was going to be so powerfully strong that it was going to cause repercussions. It was going to cause hatred. It was going to cause problems for Baruch and Jeremiah. And that's why in verses 16 and verse 19, they told Baruch to go hide. They were afraid. They knew that this was the Word of God, and they knew that their king was going to have nothing to do with it. I thought many times of the power of the gospel. I was reading through 2 Corinthians of Paul saying the gospel itself, for example, is a savor of life unto life and death unto death. And these men knew that the king Jehoiakim was going to hate and despise the Word of God. They knew that God's Word had that power to either redeem a nation, as they saw under Josiah, or to condemn a nation, as they knew, sadly, was going to be the case with Jehoiakim. And then lastly, these men loved and valued the Word of God. No doubt, at least inwardly, they groaned as they saw the king cut God's Word, throwing it into the fire, treating it as just another book, just another person that's against me, not seeing the value and the power of God's Word. They loved and valued the Word of God. They begged him, verse number 25, interceded that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded, verse 26, Jeremiel, Seraiah, Shelemiah, to take Baruch and Jeremiah. Now, what names do you see missing from verse number 26? He didn't ask Elnathan, Deliah, and Gemariah to join these princes to go capture Baruch and Jeremiah. He knew that these three men stood for the Word of God and stood against him in not wanting the Word of God to be destroyed. And we see, sadly, that these, perhaps, we don't know the full details. I tried to research other parts of the Scripture where these men are mentioned. I don't find much about them. It may be that this cost them politically. It may be that they were shunned politically for this. It may be that the king had them imprisoned or murdered. We don't know. They may have paid a price for this. But we know that they aren't included in verse number 26. Perhaps they had fallen out of favor in some way with the king because they stood for the Word of God against the king. Where did that strength of character come from? I personally believe it came from their fathers. Men that had witnessed the power of God's Word in the days of Josiah, that had seen what God could do to a nation, and these men committing that then to their sons so that their sons also could love and value the Word of God. These three sons had seen the love of God's Word by their fathers. It led them to be strong. It led them to stand in a time of adversity. And I encourage us in our lives, you know, we've never really seen much of an adverse time in our nation. We've had it pretty easy so far. We've had, for the most part, religious liberty. There have been some small threats here and there. We've been allowed to worship. We've been allowed to proclaim God's Word. We've been allowed to read it, to have a Christian school, to have church and to speak freely and to not be interrogated. I think back when I was a child, you know, we were always praying for the people in Russia that had to meet out in the woods. We haven't had to do that here in America. It could be those days are coming. I don't know. But if those days do come where the political nature turns away from religious liberty and turns from the days of Josiah of loving God's Word to the days of Jehoiakim of hating God's word and throwing it in the fire and destroying it, not wanting anything to do with it, have we as fathers and grandfathers trained our children enough in the things of God so that when those days of Jehoiakim come, our sons will be faithful to the word of God? Now that's a burden that we have to bear. That is an onus upon us to make sure we are faithful to God's word. There's so many other things vying for the attention of our youth, our sons and daughters. How about time we show the value of this book? Again, we've had it fairly easy. But if days of Jehoiakim come upon us, are we going to value God's word? Have we instilled in our children a love for the Scripture so that it's easy for them to stand against Jehoiakim and stand for the word of God? That was an encouragement to me as I read through this chapter. And next time we're going to come back to this chapter and we're going to look at some characteristics of the Word of God that are seen all throughout this chapter. I've got about three or four characteristics of God's Word that we're going to look at. But I just wanted to share tonight that in the days of a bad political situation where there was a hatred for God, there were some men that stood for the Word of God because their fathers trained them in that. That's my belief. I may be way off base. I may be adding too much speculation. But I think it's an interesting correlation that the same men that were involved with Josiah, their sons are now standing for the Word of God later in the days of Jehoiakim. And I pray that we as Christian fathers and mothers and parents, grandparents, that we also will teach our young people to love and value and stand for the Word of God. Now, Father, we thank you for the time tonight to be here with you and with our people through social media. We thank you for our families. We ask you to bless each one of them, Father, and give us a commitment to the Scriptures. Give us a commitment to your Word, to follow it, to love it, to honor it. And may we instill these principles in our young people, our sons and daughters who we don't know what they're going to face in the future, Father, but we know what will sustain them, and that's your Word. Lord, give us a faithful attitude and heart and a consistent spirit to give your word to those in need. Thank you, Father, again for this time and for our church family. Be with each one of them. Give us a wonderful week, Father, and we look forward to the time when we can meet back together with them and fellowship around your word once again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.